I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More on NPR News. Coming up, only 77 days until Christmas. You may want to ignore it, but our money guru says you should seriously start thinking about it. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few Mocha Moms. We visit with members of this mother support group each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we're talking about teaching kids about respect and boundaries. We thought this might be a good conversation to have in the wake of last week's jury verdict in the sexual harassment trial of New York Knicks coach Isaiah Thomas. Thomas denies the charges, but a jury sided with a female marketing executive who said that Thomas used abusive and inappropriate language with her. And as a parent or caregiver, we were wondering, how do you teach kids about what words to use and not to use, especially words they may hear from others and, dare we say it, in the news media? To talk about all this, I'm joined by Mocha Moms Jolene Ivy, Davina McFarlane, and Asra Nomani. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Hey, hello. Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Ladies, I have to tell you that one of the reasons that this topic interests me is because of something that has happened to me several times on my way home. I drive up a busy street. This particular time I want to talk about, I stopped at a stoplight. There's a big truck next to me. It was, the light turns green. I start to move forward. Lo and behold, this group of little boys dash in front of my car. And I slam on the brakes, of course, and, you know, roll down the window to say, are you guys okay? What do I hear? The B word. These kids could not be more than 9 or 10 years old. The B word, the flurry of, you know, the B word. And obviously, I'm not going to have a teachable moment with these young men, as however much I would like to. But I have to say, you know, it starts at home. And I, Jolene, I'm going to start with you because you have five boys. They're hearing the word, not just that word, other words. And how do you talk about this?
Well, first of all, if I ever found out that one of my kids did something like that, I would wear them out so fast. And I'm not even a spanker, but that would be a spankable offense and on the spot. Now, I can't say what those kids' mothers were teaching them at home. It's hard to say sometimes because I look at Isaiah Thomas. I'll bet his mother taught him to be respectful. I'll bet she did. But I think she needs to have another little teachable moment with him. What do you think?
I think that might be timely. I think that might be timely. Davina, what do you think? I mean, here you are. You're a mother of daughters as well.
I have two sons and a daughter. And so, you know, we use in-house, you know, you can't speak to your sister that way. You shouldn't speak to anyone that way. But yes, I don't live in a bubble, so I'm sure that they've heard them. When those incidents come up, you know, my sons have come to me, what's this mean? What's that mean? I'm frank with them. It means this. It means that. And it's a nasty thing to say. You know why people use those kind of words? Because they can't think of something else to say. They're not bright enough to come up with something without using profanity. We don't need to do that.
But what about sports? I know your kids all play sports. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of those words make an appearance in a sports environment. In fact, we had a conversation on yesterday's show about a women's roller derby team where they use the word with each other. We talked about that. So how do you talk about that? I mean, if you hear it in front of you, one thing, but if you overhear it, what do you do?
I'm not sure because I haven't been faced with that. The thing is, I teach my children about respect for everyone, you know, no matter their gender. And there are certain ways you speak to each other. That's just not acceptable, point blank.
Oscar, what about you?
Well, my son's 4.5, turning 5 any day now. And we're dealing in our house with words like dumb, stupid. He learned feather brain last week. And so, you know, this is the continuum, though. I mean, it's a continuum that leads to an incident like the one you're talking about, where it becomes, you know, how you use language. And dumb and stupid are, you know, part of cartoons nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, watch an episode of SpongeBob. And at the end of the day, we know that that's all about belittling another person. You know, I'm trying so hard to take these adult concepts that we've got and bring them down to his level and bring him up to another level.
What do you tell him when somebody calls him that? I mean, it's one thing to own your business in your house, okay? But what if your kid's the target of this kind of language? What do you tell him?
I do try to tell him that, like, if there's somebody in the school who calls him names, there was, you know, an incident when he was told that he was, gosh, I can't even remember. Who can remember all these, like, little kid slurs that go around? But I told him that you've got to figure out that person might be angry or maybe they're afraid or, you know, all the stuff that goes into using language that inappropriately. And that's what I think that we've got, like, from the children to the adult side, where we end up thinking that words can be thrown around without taking ownership about what they actually mean.
Speaking of words being thrown around, Davina brought up the, and I think Jolene also brought up the Isaiah Thomas issue. I want to play a short clip of what is now, I think, fairly infamous of Isaiah Thomas's testimony. There's a tape deposition. Let's play it.
Mr. Thomas, you stated earlier that you found it offensive for a white man to call a black woman a. Do you remember that testimony?
Mm-hmm.
You have to say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you find it also offensive for a black male to call a black woman a.
Not as much, and I'm sorry to say. I do make a distinction.
Let's talk about this, Davina, if you want to bring that. Now, I have to say he later cleaned it up. He later gave a statement outside of the proceeding where he disavowed that. I'm not quite sure how you reconcile the two. But what about that? I mean, is there some sense that within a group you can use certain language?
I guess there is. I don't necessarily agree with that. But yes, there is. We, as a group of women sitting here, if I were to call you all the B word, you wouldn't be nearly as offended as you would if a man were to come in here and say it.
No, I would. I disagree with you. I would.
I would.
I would.
Well,
I would. Well, I would. First of all, my feelings would be hurt because I wouldn't think that's the kind of relationship we had.
Indeed.
But yeah, I would. Yeah,
I would also, let me just say that, and that is not a word I would use to, you know, refer to my friends or, you know, whatever.
But some do.
Some do. I mean, you can turn on any television show and they throw it around, you know, all the time. Those morning talk shows, and you know which one I mean. They say it all the time. You're this.
Jolene?
Well, I guess I'm kind of old-fashioned in some ways, and I look kind of longingly back to the good things of the 50s and 60s. And when I look back at times like during Martin Luther King's marches, they would all be dressed so nicely to go to the march. They'd be so respectful of each other. They just had a great persona, aura about them. And I look back on that and say, why can't we be more like that?
Do you think that you all can be change agents of sort of turning the tide back on sort of coarseness in the culture just by handling your own business? And
I do.
By what, Davina?
I absolutely do. In my house, shut up is a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid is a bad word.
Right.
We don't use those words. If they heard someone else, they, oh my, why are you?
But you know, Davina, I always have to ask you this. Do you ever worry about your kids being outliers, you know, not being able to handle situations socially because they're more sheltered?
I think that the standards that we as a family set for our children are not necessarily as outlying as you might think. I think there are a lot of kids who are being raised with the same kind of value system, and I think my children gravitate toward those children.
Tough question for somebody here. I don't know who wants to take this, but let's say there's a kid in your parents who use certain language, who are part of your universe for whatever reason. Maybe their kids, your kids go to the same school together, and you hear them using this kind of language. So you say to yourself, maybe this is where this language is being used at home. What do you do? Have you ever been cannabis? Have you ever said anything?
Yeah, I speak up. You know, at my level now, it's words like stupid, right, and dumb. And when I hear that, because we throw that around pretty easily as adults sometimes too. I do anyway. And so I know from even myself, I censor. Like, I have to actually correct myself. And even if I use those words because it's my old habit, then I correct myself in front of Shibley. And when I hear other people, I just try to say, you know, to him, then there's better words, right, that we can use.
Would you correct another parent? Would you confront another parent?
You know, I haven't run into that situation, but I would. I think gently.
Jolene?
I ran into this very recently. It was very troubling. Fortunately, I did not have my own children with me, but I was at a nail shop having a manicure, and there was a woman there with two little boys. And she was so nasty to her own children.
Mm-hmm.
It was just horrible. And I kept thinking, what can I do to change the dynamic? Because I didn't want to just rush off and leave her there with these two little boys. So I just kind of watched for my moment. And when I was waiting for my nails to dry, which I never do, I always rush out and then I have to come back because I messed up a nail. But this time I stuck it out and I said to the lady, would you mind if your little boy came over and helped me? Because I can't turn the page because my nails are wet. And so she said, oh, okay. So he came over and he turned pages for me. We looked for the numbers on the page. Sweet, sweet little boy. But when I said, you are so smart, he said, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And it broke my heart. And I knew it came from her.
Mm-hmm. So what did you?
Well, the most I could do is kind of display for her proper behavior, how you treat a child. And then when I was about to leave, I said to her, thank you so much. And he's such a smart little boy. I really appreciate it. And for that moment, she did speak to him better. You know, when I was leaving, she even asked him, oh, bring another book over.
That's great, though. So, that was a great.
So mm-hmm. So you're all the another reason to admire Jolene, besides the fact that she has a beautiful manicure and took the time to get one and to get it to dry, is that you kind of figured out. So what you're telling us is there are ways to intervene without directly confronting.
Because if you confront some of these people, they will bite your head off. They will bite your head off and they will be nasty to the kid.
And take it out on the child mm-hmm. on the way home. Good advice, as always, from the Mochas. Jolene Ivey, Davina McFarlane, and Asra Nomani joined us here from our studios in Washington. You can find links to the Mocha Moms at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Ladies, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.